everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. About a month ago, prior to the World Cup final, I was speaking to a listener from France named Annie. Hi, Annie, if you're listening. I wrote her, "Congrats for getting into the World Cup final. I'm having deja vu." She was surprised to hear me write deja vu in an English sentence because deja vu is French. Its literal translation is already seen. We say déjà vu in English when we feel like we've experienced something before. I was having déjà vu because the French team was in the World Cup finals again. I'd experienced that before. Déjà vu. Now, we're not going to be talking about soccer today. The World Cup final is old news. All I have to say on that matter is thank you, Annie, for inspiring this episode, and congrats to both teams that made it to the World Cup final, Argentina and France. That was such an epic game to watch. I'm so looking forward to the next World Cup, which will take place in 2026 in North America. So in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. So exciting. So anyway, today you'll hear a 10 words a day episode and all about French words in English. As with all 10 words a day episodes, the goal is for you to walk away having learned 10 new words. If these words in particular are not new for you, the goal is then to increase your confidence in using them. Particularly with this episode, it's important to pay attention to the pronunciation because we're talking about loan words. Loan words are words that are borrowed from other languages. They aren't originally English words. Today, we're talking about French loan words. So, how do you pronounce French words in English? Well, I know a lot of you are saying we butcher them. That's okay. The pronunciation depends on how popular a word is or how common it is. If a French word is common in American English, naturally, there's an expected way to pronounce it, even if it's not how it is pronounced normally in French. If a word is uncommon, the average American will do one of three things. They will, number one, try to pronounce it correctly, but not super correctly because they don't want to come across as snobby or pretentious. Two, they'll pronounce it wrong and very wrong because they're not going to get it right. Or three, they'll describe whatever it is using other English words. Let me give a few examples of this, and then I'll explain why this is important. When I was living in New York City, my family came to visit me. It was my mom, my dad, and my brother. And one day we were walking all around the city when my family got hungry. It was time to eat. And so I told them that we'd go to a popular French chain in the US called Le Pain Quotidien. They serve fresh bread, French patisserie, so little pastries and cakes, as well as sandwiches and just great coffee. My brother was like, "We're going to Le Pain, what? Say what?" And I explained that it was a bakery slash restaurant sort of place that served great sandwiches and desserts. They agreed. We walked inside, and in the display case, there were a bunch of items with very French names. Some of them were easy to pronounce because they are common in the US, so we have a standard way of pronouncing them, which are, for example, croissants, baguettes, eclairs. I believe there was also crème brûlée, which is a custard dessert with caramelized sugar on top. Maybe there was even a souffle on the menu, which is a sweet or savory egg-based dessert. I don't believe they have crepes, which are very thin pancakes that can be filled with a savory or sweet filling. I say crepe, but many Americans also say crepes. So that would also be considered normal in the United States. You'll get what you want, right? Crepes or crepes. Potato, potato. So back to this French bakery. My family stood in front of the display case for a good 5 minutes, and I won't forget the look on my brother's face as he analyzed the options. When the cashier asked if he was ready to order, he got so flustered. To become flustered is when you turn red in the face, you get nervous, and you don't really speak well. You're not speaking fluently. You're maybe stuttering. You don't quite know what to say. A lot of people get flustered in language classes. My brother was flustered with all of the options and with the number of options in French. So some of the list items were French names that were less common. They aren't really part of English yet. So what did my brother order? He said, "I'd like the pain ox raisins, please." And now, if you're French and you're listening to this, you're probably banging your head on the table. My brother wanted the popular French raisin roll or raisin pastry, which was listed as pain au raisin. My pronunciation is not correct, but this is the point I'm trying to make. Chances are, if you come across an uncommon loan word from another language, Americans also struggle with it. So what should you do with loanwords you don't know how to pronounce? Well, I'm an advocate for always trying to pronounce something. I don't care if people judge. But then again, it's up to you. Describing it is also a great way to practice using adjectives in English. So try that also. Whatever route you choose is a learning opportunity. You can simply point to whatever it is you want and ask confidently, "How do you pronounce that?" And then if the person who you're speaking to responds, "Oh, that? That's a pain au chocolat," then you have the option to say pain au chocolat in whatever accent you have, or voila, I'll get the chocolate croissant. You can translate it, right? Chocolate croissant, pain au chocolat, potato, potato. All right. Let's refresh the pronunciation of the words we just went through, and then we'll go to our main story for the day. This story takes place in New York City on an overcast day. You are the main character of this story, and your name is Elle. Are you ready? It's drizzling outside, and on days like these, you're attracted to coffee shops. Your favorite is a popular French bakery chain called Le Pain Quotidien that serves amazing patisserie and desserts like eclairs and croissants, crème brûlées and macarons. When you're extra hungry, you buy a sandwich on one of their baguettes or indulge in a delicious soufflé. You might even consider taking a pain au chocolat or pain au raisin to go. In other words, the chocolate croissant or the raisin pastry. Today is different, though. Across the street from the French bakery is a fancy restaurant you recently read about in the Times. It got a raving review from a renowned food critic, and you can't wait to see if their food lives up to the hype. At first, you didn't see the restaurant. The facade is a dark gray, and the name is discreetly written above the door. You're so curious, though, so you wander over to look inside. It's chic, that's for sure. There are white tablecloths and place settings. Utensils are sitting out. Would it be a faux pas if you went in wearing jeans and a t-shirt? Probably, but you decide to brush off your insecurities and head in to talk to the maitre d'. A maitre d' is the person who makes sure a restaurant experience is smooth for guests. They may greet guests when they walk in, smile at them. They may seat them. They work with waiters to get food out. And they organize reservations. This maitre d', as you read in the Times, is also a sommelier. They are a wine connoisseur, so they can answer questions about the wine list and pair wine well with food. Today's your lucky day. There's an empty seat by the front window, and it has your name all over it. The waiter hands you a menu, and you open it up. At the top of the menu, you see the hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres are appetizers or finger food that you eat before a meal. You can never remember how to write it, but the word is equally as popular in English as appetizers. Your mom always asks you to bring hors d'oeuvres for your family Christmas party. You decide today that you're going to skip hors d'oeuvres and wonder if that's also a faux pas in a fancy establishment. Instead, you order a glass of champagne, a fresh herby salad with lemon vinaigrette, and an omelet. You also decide to get an order of bacon a la carte. Since you're flying solo today, you people watch as you eat. To your right, you can hear a man telling a woman in a faux fur hat that her eyes look like the stars. How cliche is that? At another table, a woman in bright red lipstick is twirling her hair and waiting for someone. The little red dress she has on is a little risque for a Thursday lunch, but then again, who are you to judge? That's when outside you see a black car pull up. The windows are tinted. A chauffeur walks to the passenger door and out steps Bill Gates, the famous entrepreneur. Apparently, he's having a rendezvous with some other famous faces. Sure enough, he walks in and sits at the table next to you. Given the circumstances, you decide to stick around for dessert and order an apple pie a la mode. A la mode means with a scoop of ice cream on top. Unfortunately, while reaching for your spoon to dig in, you knock over your glass, spilling champagne all over your lap and the floor. You're embarrassed, but c'est la vie. That's the end of today's story. Do you ever treat yourself to a nice meal? Have you ever run into a famous person while at a restaurant? Please share your stories on Instagram at American English Podcast. Or you can also write your story in the comments for correction if you have purchased the premium content for this episode. Let's go ahead and begin the pronunciation exercise. The list of words here is very long just because it's all of the words that I have mentioned up until this point that are French loanwords in English. You don't need to learn all of these, although practice the pronunciation. Afterwards, we'll go through the 10 key words with the definitions and new example sentences, and these are the ones that I hope you take away from this lesson and use in real life. Repeat after me. Patisserie. Croissants. Baguettes. Eclairs. Crème brûlée. Soufflé. Crepes, or crepes. Facade. Chic. Faux pas. Maitre d'. Sommelier. Connoisseur. Hors d'oeuvres. Champagne. Vinaigrette. Omelette. Faux. Cliché. Risqué. chauffeur, entrepreneur, rendezvous, a la mode, a la carte, c'est la vie, déjà vu. We're going to go through the definitions and new example sentences now, and then you'll hear the recording one last time. I'd like to thank Oxford Languages for help with these definitions. Number one, déjà vu. A feeling of having already experienced the present situation. Have I met you before? I feel like I'm having déjà vu. I recommend listening to the song Déjà Vu by Olivia Rodrigo. It's all about the feeling of experiencing something twice. Two, cliché. A phrase or opinion that is overused and betrays a lack of original thought. Even if the poem was a cliché, the mother was happy to receive a card that read, "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you." That is one of the most common poems in English on Valentine's Day, but I'm sure a mother would be happy to receive that from their child. Number three, faux pas, an embarrassing or tactless act or remark in a social situation. So it's some embarrassing thing you do or say that is socially unacceptable. In French, faux means false, and pas means step. So it's a false step or a bad move, we could say. You can have a fashion faux pas. Many people consider it a fashion faux pas to wear socks with sandals. Do you? As a kid, I remember my mom telling me that it was a fashion faux pas to wear white pants after Labor Day. Labor Day is the first Monday in September, which is kind of weird. I never thought about it before. I actually looked it up thanks to this episode, and it turns out that a lot of people in the US think this is a faux pas. So, yeah. But apart from clothing, it would also be a faux pas to slurp your noodles in a restaurant in the US. It's when you go like, and you can hear the liquid being slurped up. It's socially unacceptable, which is kind of funny because I know that in some Asian countries, it's considered polite. It means you like the food. Faux, as I mentioned, F-A-U-X, means false, but it can also mean fake or artificial. We always say faux when we're talking about fake materials or fabrics. One of the women in the restaurant was wearing a faux fur hat. It's fake fur. Maybe it's synthetic. You might have a faux leather couch or a faux pearl necklace, right? So it's not the real material. It's fake, but faux sounds a little bit better. So you might think it's a faux pas to wear a faux fur hat to a fancy restaurant. Do you think so? Number four, a la carte. A la carte means by the menu or according to the menu. If you eat something a la carte, it means you choose individual items from the menu instead of ordering a fixed meal that comes with a bunch of stuff. If I told a waiter, "Yeah, I'd like the pancakes with a side of bacon," he might say, "Yeah, the bacon is a la carte." In other words, you'll need to pay an extra fee for it. It doesn't come with the pancakes. It's separate from your main dish. It comes a la carte. Five, maitre d'. We went over this one. And once again, it's someone who kind of organizes the restaurant, the feeling of the restaurant, the customer experience. They make sure everything runs smoothly. The maitre d' helped me find a great white wine to go with my fish. Six, connoisseur, an expert judge in matters of taste. Trust him, when it comes to beer, he's a connoisseur. In the audio, the maitre d' was a wine connoisseur. They were a sommelier, so a true expert wine professional. Chic, elegantly and stylishly fashionable. At the Oscars, I said to an actress, "Well, aren't you chic?" Eight, risque, slightly indecent and liable to shock, especially by being sexually suggestive. We started watching Game of Thrones with my daughters, but it's way too risque and violent for a 3-year-old, so we turned it off. Number 9, rendezvous. A meeting at an agreed time and place, typically between 2 people. Where do you want to have our rendezvous? How about Il Fornaio at 3 p.m.? Perfect. Instead of saying meeting, you can say rendezvous. Meeting can sound a little formal at times. Sounds like it's something for business. Rendezvous is fun. It's different. Yeah, squeeze it in there sometime. 10, c'est la vie. That's life. If something bad happens, we say c'est la vie to sort of get rid of the disappointing feeling. It means that's life. For example, if you spill your glass of wine, you might say, well, I'm sad I spilled my wine, but c'est la vie. That's life. I think the English equivalent would be like, that's how the cookie crumbles. I have 2 bonuses for you, 2 English bonuses, just because I liked them and I want to talk about them quickly. Number 1, to fly solo means to do something alone. Are you going to the dance with anybody? No, I think I'm going to fly solo. I'm going to go alone. Number 2, your name is all over something. It means it's all yours. There's only 1 almond croissant left in the display case, and my name is all over it. So you've heard these words in a few different ways now. You heard the words in the context of the story. You learned the definitions, and you heard new example sentences. Now you should feel pretty confident about the meaning of each of these words. Now, you'll hear the story 1 more time. Once you're done, I highly recommend writing 10 original sentences to solidify your knowledge of these new terms. It's drizzling outside, and on days like these, you're attracted to coffee shops. Your favorite is a popular French bakery chain called Le Pain Quotidien that serves amazing patisserie and desserts like eclairs and croissants, crème brûlées and macarons. When you're extra hungry, you buy a sandwich on one of their baguettes or indulge in a delicious soufflé. You might even consider taking a pain au chocolat or pain au raisin to go. In other words, the chocolate croissant or the raisin pastry. Today is different, though. Across the street from the French bakery is a fancy restaurant you recently read about in the Times. It got a raving review from a renowned food critic, and you can't wait to see if their food lives up to the hype. At first, you didn't see the restaurant. The facade is a dark gray, and the name is discreetly written above the door. You're so curious, though, so you wander over to look inside. It's chic. That's for sure. There are white tablecloths and place settings. Utensils are sitting out. Would it be a faux pas if you went in wearing jeans and a t-shirt? Probably, but you decide to brush off your insecurities and head in to talk to the maitre d'. A maitre d' is the person who makes sure a restaurant experience is smooth for guests. They may greet guests when they walk in, smile at them. They may seat them. They work with waiters to get food out. And they organize reservations. This maitre d', as you read in the Times, is also a sommelier. They are a wine connoisseur, so they can answer questions about the wine list and pair wine well with food. Today's your lucky day. There's an empty seat by the front window, and it has your name all over it. The waiter hands you a menu, and you open it up. At the top of the menu, you see the hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres are appetizers or finger food that you eat before a meal. You can never remember how to write it, but the word is equally as popular in English as appetizers, Your mom always asks you to bring hors d'oeuvres for your family Christmas party. You decide today that you're going to skip hors d'oeuvres and wonder if that's also a faux pas in a fancy establishment. Instead, you order a glass of champagne, a fresh herby salad with lemon vinaigrette, and an omelet. You also decide to get an order of bacon a la carte. Since you're flying solo today, you people watch as you eat. To your right, you can hear a man telling a woman in a faux fur hat that her eyes look like the stars. How cliche is that? At another table, a woman in bright red lipstick is twirling her hair and waiting for someone. The little red dress she has on is a little risque for a Thursday lunch, but then again, who are you to judge? That's when outside you see a black car pull up. The windows are tinted. A chauffeur walks to the passenger door and out steps Bill Gates, the famous entrepreneur. Apparently, he's having a rendezvous with some other famous faces. Sure enough, he walks in and sits at the table next to you. Given the circumstances, you decide to stick around for dessert and order an apple pie a la mode. A la mode means with a scoop of ice cream on top. Unfortunately, while reaching for your spoon to dig in, you knock over your glass, spilling champagne all over your lap and the floor. You're embarrassed, but c'est la vie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.